started preaching this message last Sunday morning. I want to continue in that and maybe finish it up here today. But Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse number 16, the Bible says this: "Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven, that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, unless ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you." Let's pray. Lord, I do love you, and I thank you for saving me. And Lord, you have been good, and Lord, it just gets better every day, truly, Lord. And I pray now you'd bless the preaching of the Word of God. I pray for your touch and your anointing. Lord, I need you today, and I confess that to you. And bless your people that are here. I pray you'd give them something that'd be a help and an encouragement to them, something they could take and put into their life. I pray for those that are sick, Lord, and you know their desire to be here. Pray to help them get better soon, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. We saw there, and we preached last week about how the Bible says, "Take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived." And we looked as an introduction about taking heed that you turn aside. You don't want to turn aside. And then we saw, don't be deceived by your heart. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Your heart will deceive you. Your heart will constantly try to deceive you. Don't trust your heart. Don't follow your heart. I know. We mean well, but sometimes people, we might say they have a good heart. No, they have a deceitful, desperately wicked heart. So don't be deceived by your heart. Your deceived heart will turn you aside. A deceived heart will not deliver your soul from hell. We saw that a proud heart is easily deceived. Pride leads to deception. And that's where we ended up last week. And we're going to pick up, if you want to go over and look at Job chapter number 31. Job chapter 31. So we're preaching on don't be deceived. And don't let your heart deceive you. Don't let your heart deceive you. A proud heart will deceive you. A heart that is deceived cannot deliver you deliver your soul from hell. But I want to look here in Job 31, and that's a little bit of a different point to jump into. But let me say this: don't let your heart deceive you concerning immorality. Immorality. Now, this just happens to be the point I ended on. I mean, I didn't get to it last Sunday, so we're going to get to it this morning. If you don't like this, you might like the next point a little bit better, so just hang on. And if you don't, you may not like the next point, so you may want to enjoy this point to the best of your ability, because the next one may not be any more enjoyable. But Job 31, verse 9, the Bible says this: "If mine heart have been deceived by a woman, or if I have laid wait at my neighbor's door." I want to tell you today, do not be deceived by immorality. And I understand Job there is talking about a woman. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 7, verse 25, "Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths." Proverbs chapter 9, verse 16 says, "Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding," in other words, he doesn't have it. Remember Proverbs 3, young men, we've been learning, it's all about wisdom and understanding. But this man in Proverbs 9, he doesn't have understanding. He's not availed himself to the understanding that is available. What is he? He's deceived. "She saith to him, stolen waters are sweet." Well, they might be to the taste, but listen, stolen waters are never a benefit. They're never a blessing. They're not going to bring lasting peace or lasting joy. They're not going to bring what you think that they might bring. Why do you think stolen waters are sweet? You're deceived. Okay, that's the whole problem here, is deception. "And bread eaten in secret is pleasant." No, it's not. It's not as pleasant as you think it is. That is a deceived heart that's telling you. You said it feels good. It seems good. It looks good. No, you're deceived. He said, "But he knoweth not." He knoweth not. What's it mean? He's deceived. He knoweth not. He said, "These stolen waters are sweet. This bread eating in secret is pleasant." It's all reference to the strange woman. It's doing that which you're not supposed to do. It's taking what is another man's. It's doing something in secret that you ought not to be doing. You know what he's saying about it? It's sweet. It's pleasant. and it's good, but it's not. It's an abomination. You know what it brings? At the end, the Bible says a dart strike through his liver. That is not pleasant. That is not sweet. That is not a good thing. What's wrong with him? He doesn't know. He has been deceived. He says, it goes on, he knoweth not that the dead are there and that her guests are in the depths of hell. That which he thought was good and sweet and pleasant ends up, and it you know what it brings? It brings the depths of hell and death. So he's deceived. He knoweth not. He's deceived. He's ignorant. He lacks discernment. I'm preaching this morning. Don't let your heart deceive you. Don't be deceived. You know what happens to a deceived person? They are enticed. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 6, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman, lust not after her beauty in thine heart. What is that? It's lust. It's the lust of the flesh. Neither that her take thee with her eyelids. How would she take you with her eyelids? Well, she would do things to them to try to attract you. What is the reference there? It's a strange woman, the evil woman. It's a whorish woman that does up her eyelids to try to attract the deceived, the ignorant, the one lacking discernment to take him to a place where destruction and death is waiting for him because he's deceived. You know what he's deceived by? He's deceived by looks. You know what people today are still deceived by? They're deceived by looks. Listen, I know your heart's deceitful, but looks are deceitful. Looks are not everything. We live in a day and age where looks are glorified. Looks are everything. Looks is what it's a standard upon which, and I say we as a society, I understand, hopefully I don't, and hopefully you don't, but society in general, they base their decisions, yea, even their future, on looks. You understand? The Bible says that beauty is vain. I know we don't believe it, but that's what the Bible says. Beauty is vain. Why is it vain? It's not worth a whole lot. You ever go to the store and try to buy beauty? I know you buy things that you think produce beauty, but you can't buy it. Hey, there's not much value in beauty. But the Bible goes on to say, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. There's a lot more value in someone who fears God, who loves God, who has dedicated and given their life to God than somebody who looks beautiful on the outside. You know what? I'm going to tell you this about looks. They don't last. Oftentimes, beauty brings pride and vanity. You meet somebody who's beautiful and they're probably full of themselves. You meet somebody who is not as beautiful, amen? I'm thinking of all the things I want to say and I'm not going to say. You know the ones who got beat with an ugly stick when they were little? They're probably a little more humble than those who are beauty. But he's deceived by looks. You say it's still working today? You tell me if it's still working today. You know, we have people undoubtedly even sitting in this small group here today, and you did things that you knew you shouldn't do because you were deceived by your looks. It looked good. It looked enticing. You knew you shouldn't. And you did it in the secret, in the dark, because you knew you shouldn't have been doing it. And you knew it was wrong. And you had a conscience telling you, don't do it, don't do it. You felt dirty while you were doing it. But you went and did it because you were deceived by your looks. You go ahead and ask, you know what life is? Life is full of men. And you could go to all these men that and their marriages are a casualty. You know what a lot of these men will tell you is that, boy, at one time their looks deceived them. They thought she was a looker, and she might have been a looker. Well, they found out she on the inside was rotten. She was full of poison. And have you ever thought about this? If she's a looker to you, she's going to be a looker to somebody else. If she's flaunting that to you, you think you're the only one she's ever flaunted that to? Are you that deceived? Listen, you young guys, young men that are not married yet, I'm telling you, looks should not be the top thing on your list. Amen. It should not be the second thing on your list. And you need to ask God where on his list it needs to be. I'm telling you, as time goes by, the looks are going to change. It might look good now, but let them have a few babies and let the skin wrinkle just a little bit and things droop and sag and all that kind of stuff and things begin to bulge that weren't bulging before. And you're going to wonder, is it all about the looks that I was after, or was there a character and a godliness about her? You know what? Looks will fade, but a woman that feareth the Lord, that loves God, has some godly character, she'll be with you come hell, high water, no matter what happens, no matter what the world does, no matter how many troubles come in your life, whether it's health or finances or family or so-called friends, she'll be there right at your side. She'll be with you all the way through. Them looks will have fled, but a woman that loveth God will be there for you. So he's deceived by looks. Listen, the world we live in, boy, you go down the road, you can't drive down the road. What is it? There's billboards everywhere. Why people pay hundreds, say thousands of dollars on a monthly and yearly basis to put ads on billboards? You know why? They work. Are they talking to you? No. Their looks. They just want you to look, and they want you to be deceived by your eyes. You ever see liquor advertised? Who's ever seen advertisement for liquor, beer, wine, whatever you want to call it, whatever one of those godless companies that produce that? That's been such a blessing to our country. Oh, what a blessing alcohol has been to America. America sure listened to Billy Sunday. How many have ever seen a billboard of alcohol or beer and there's a car accident? Right. You know, and there's innocent women and children and their bodies are they're bleeding and guts are hanging out and the cars are smashed and the smoke is coming up and people have died and people are going to be paralyzed for life and that drunk walks away with nothing. Do you ever see that on the advertisement? Let me ask you, is that the truth? It absolutely is the truth. That's the life. I remember one time we were in Newport. We had a woman married to a drunk. She showed up middle of the night. He got home drunk and threw her through a window or something. She comes bleeding and mom picks the glass out of her head. I never seen that on a billboard. I never seen advertised on the billboard the drunk coming home and beating his kids and beating his wife and then living in poverty because he's so drunk and addicted. He goes and buys liquor instead of paying his bills. And they don't show you the man locked up in jail because he drove drunk and ran into somebody. They don't show you that. You know what they show? They show some beautiful woman. I didn't know what women had to do with liquor. And they show a beach and they show the water and they show a brand new car or maybe an old classic car. You know what they're telling you? They're telling you if you drink, you get a beautiful woman. You get a vacation on the beach. You get a brand new car. No, I'll tell you what you get if you drink. The Bible says you'll get sorrow and you'll get woe and you'll get wounds without cause. And when it's all done, you'll wake up and you know what you'll say? You'll say, let's do it all over again. Let's go get some more sorrow and some more woe and some more trouble in my life. That's what the truth is. But the world will lie to you. They'll deceive your eyes. Oh, surely one drink won't matter. You go ahead and see that. Go ahead and try it. They're deceived by their looks. Listen, you know what one of the fastest growing industries in America is, in the world, is pornography. You know what they've used for it to become a multi-billion dollar industry, Burke Heaven? Looks. By looks. It's not talking to you. It's not physically pulling you. It's all by what you see. Deceived by looks. Lust not after her beauty. In that, the warning's there. The warning's been in the Word of God since it was written. And yet you know what countless, and I sadly say this, men and women, young men and women, look up the stats of women involved in pornography. It's mind-blowing. It's not just the men. But you know what many have done? They've ignored the warning of the Word of God. Lust not after her beauty. That's what you see in your heart. I'm telling you, if you're involved in pornography, If you can't get victory over pornography, you need to take drastic measures. Do you understand? You look at Proverbs 6, you study these passages. You study the end result of these passages. It's death. It's destruction. Talks about the depths of hell, the arrow through your liver. Do you not understand the severe consequences? You say, well, it's just something I'm going to learn to live with. No, I'm telling you, it is a terrible sin that leaves an awful blot and mark on your life. It is something that must be fought. It must be faced. And it must be conquered and gotten victory. And I'm telling you, it don't matter what you've got to do. You've got to go to any extreme to get victory or your life is going to be destroyed. Amen. You get involved, you're going to have images and you're going to have issues in your life down the road because of things you've done. And you'll never be able to get over some of that. All by looks. You better be careful what you look at. Can I just tell you this? Not everything is as it appears. Oh, the world makes it look so good. We have, Photoshop. It's probably something now. We have Photoshop. Now we have AI, right? They just make images. They're not even real, but they look real. Everything is not as it appears. So he's deceived by looks. Well, you better be careful you're not deceived at what you're looking at. Well, I think this. I'm telling you, young people, I'm just going to tell you this and we'll move on. You better have some godly counsel in your life to get you through such an important time of your life. You could ruin the rest of your life. Amen. So deceived by looks. Now that he's deceived by words. From the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. I'm going to say this for husbands and wives. You better praise your spouse. I'm going to try that one more time. Dad's not here. He would amen me if Dad was here. So somebody's got to amen for Dad. Amen. But you better praise your spouse. Amen. You know what? I think my wife is beautiful and I tell her that. You know why I tell her? Because nobody else better tell her. Or we're going to have a problem. Well, if you don't tell your wife, somebody's going to tell her. Somebody's going to flatter her. If you think, you better praise each other. And that goes both ways. Amen. Well, maybe we're going to preach on husband-wife relationship tonight. We'll make a little note here that we need to preach on that. Hey, you better be careful about the flattery. And you know what, young people, it may not be a strange woman, but there'll be some heathen, some lost person, or some backslid saved person, they're trying to flatter you. You know how they're going to try to deceive you? If they can't do it with looks, they're going to try to do it with speech. You know what they're going to tell you? They're going to tell you, I really care about you. You'll be like, oh, wow. And they might even hand you a little bit of money as they tell you, I really care about you. But you know, if I met somebody today for the first time, and I gave him a $50 bill and said, I really care about you, that don't mean nothing. That don't mean I care. You know what it could mean? It could mean I'm trying to set a trap. I'm trying to flatter them. Boy, you can flatter a lot more ways than just with words. Some people try to buy your loyalty. They try to buy your allegiance. They try to buy your love. Love shouldn't be something you buy. You know who really cares about you? It's those who have been there for you through thick and thin. It's those who have loved you and prayed for you and tried to live right for you and tried to be a blessing to you and sometimes reproved you when you needed reproved and rebuked you when you needed rebuked and exhorted you when it was necessary. And those who have been there and have proven themselves in your life. It's not those who show up. I'm going to tell you what lost and heathen relatives are going to do. I'm going to tell you this. You may not listen or not, but you know, when your kids are little, run around, little snot-nosed, little terrible two demons, you know, and you're trying to potty train them and you're trying to keep them from killing themselves or you killing them or, you know, all that kind of stuff. They're going to be sort of hands off because who wants to go home with that thing? But if you live for God and train your kids right and put some godly character down in them, Christian principles, as they become teenagers, those heathen going to look at those kids. You know what they're going to want? They're going to desire them. They're not going to want the work. They're not going to be the ones there training them every day, praying for them, sacrificing, weeping at night, begging God to do this and fighting the good fight and separating from certain people so you could try to keep them in a good environment. They want to have been there. But when they see the product, you know what they're going to do? They're going to get their nasty, sinful, wicked, godless hands things on their life, and they're going to want to influence them, and they're going to want to pollute them, and they're going to drag them off into the world. And I'm telling you, you're going to have to learn to stand and say no to the flattery of the wicked. I'm just telling you, be ready, it's coming. And they say, oh, but we care, we love them. No, you don't. You know, if you loved them, you'd live right in front of them. If you cared about them, you'd be faithful in the house of God. You'd pray for them every day. You'd take a stand against this world for them to see. Amen. Amen. You say, I don't like that. Well, it's true. And you watch. You watch and wait. It's amazing the relatives that come out of the woodwork when your kids are teenagers. And they now think, Brother Kevin, they have something to offer. It's amazing. Where have they been the last so many years? You know what they've been? They've been opposition. They've been resistance. They've been a terrible example. And now they want to mar what you've worked hard to keep clean. You better be ready, parents. By flattery. Boy, I'm preaching on you. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived concerning immorality. The Bible says this, 1 Corinthians 6. You know these verses, but listen to this. Verse 18 says, flee fornication. Flee fornication. And then it says, every sin that a man doeth. You know what fornication is? It's sin. Every single act of fornication is sin against God. And you know what the Bible says? Flee it. The Bible doesn't say stop it. It doesn't say resist it. It says flee it. Why? It's dangerous. It is not something you can flirt with and get close to and be and it not affect you. Do you understand that? He says, get away, flee it, get away from it. Why? It's sin. It is sin against God. And that takes in adultery and pornography and the whole list. Any of that stuff that is against God and is not pure and chaste and clean. God calls it fornication, and it's sin. It's what you look at. It's what you touch. It's what you're doing. It's sin. That's what God calls it. He says, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. And then he continues. He asks this question, what? Know ye not that your body, if you're saved, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. Your body, if you're saved, whether you want it to be or not, is the temple, the holy habitation for the Spirit of God. And when you commit fornication, you sin against your body, against the temple of God. And you know what you're doing when you commit fornication? You are causing the Spirit of God to become partaker of that through your body, his temple. You know what it is? It's very serious business with God. And then he says this, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body. Don't glorify yourself and in your spirit, which are God's. Fornication is sin. It does not glorify God. And let me tell you this, it will never satisfy. Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 29, the Bible says this, thou hast moreover multiplied thy fornication in the land of Canaan unto Chaldea, and yet thou wast not satisfied herewith. Nobody ever committed fornication and said, yep, I'm satisfied. Boy, that brought a satisfaction and a contentment and a peace. You know what they're always, always looking for? Is a little more. A little more. It never satisfies. I'm telling you this morning, don't be deceived by immorality. It will not satisfy. And the Bible says, now the works of flesh are manifest, which are these, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. It's a work of the flesh. You're given into your flesh. The Bible says, reckon the old man dead indeed unto sins. Tell the old man no. Tell the flesh no. No, flesh, you're not running things. I'm not going to live according to the lust of the flesh. I'm going to watch my eyes. Listen, look, you need to be careful how you look. I'm going to be careful what I listen to and who I listen to. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:3, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become his saints. Colossians 3, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, the first one that is mentioned. 1 Thessalonians 4:3, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. That's total abstinence. Listen, if you're going to abstain, you're going to have to watch your eyes. We already talked about being deceived by your looks. David said this, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. You know, we can preach that to mean a lot of things. I'll tell you what it means. It means any wicked thing. You can find a wicked thing on TV. You can find it on your computer. You can find it on your phone. You can find it in a magazine. You can find it in certain dirty books. The Bible says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. That'd be a good covenant to make with God in your life. I won't look at anything wicked. Do you understand that everything you look at, God sees? Everything you've ever looked at, no matter how private it might be, God saw. God knows. You might hide it from mom and dad. You might hide it from the pastor. You might hide it from your spouse. You might hide it from your friend, from your kids. But you have not hidden it from God. Amen. He knows it all. You know what he says? It's Isaiah 1. It's a good solution. Wash you. Make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Job said this later on, chapter 31. I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon me? You got to watch your eyes. Watch how you look. Guys, watch how you look at women. You shouldn't have to say women, watch how you look at men. But I guess in this day and age, you can't take anything for granted. Watch your eyes. But you need to watch your mind. He said there, why then should I think? Watch your mind. Hey, let me ask you, where's your mind go when you're private, when you're by yourself? Do you keep it? Keep it under control? Or do you let it wander into dirty, dark places you have no business letting it go? If you do, God knows that. You know what he says? He says, flee it. You need to stop it. So I'm telling you, don't be deceived concerning immorality. We have a lot of young people in here, and I'm praying in the coming years God brings them the spouse that he has. I do believe that God has one person for everybody. I don't believe God has a selection for you to make. I told you this. I read this. I thought it was put well. A preacher said when God put Adam to sleep, he didn't take out a rack of ribs. He took out one rib and brought one woman. He didn't make six and bring them to Adam and tell him to make to choose which one he wanted. He made one. I believe God made one for you. I don't believe he loved Adam more than me or you. I believe he made one. The only problem is there's more than two people in the world nowadays. I believe that, and I know some people don't believe it. Some people believe you could marry one of 25 and still be in the will of God. You believe whatever you want to believe. I don't believe that God has a specific will for everything, and then who you marry, he just sort of leaves it up to you. Just, hey, just as long as they're saved and love God, you choose the one you want. I don't believe that's what the Bible teaches. But I believe, and I'm praying that God gets all these young people married in his time. I'm telling you, you better do right. You better have some guidelines. You better keep yourself pure. Young people, you get one opportunity. Talking to single people. You get one opportunity to come to a marriage altar and give your spouse your purity. You get one chance. You blow it, you never get another chance. I didn't say you won't be forgiven. I didn't say you can't have a good marriage, a wonderful marriage. But you get one chance to give them your purity. It should matter to you. So you need to keep yourself clean. Parents, and as the pastor, our responsibility is to help them. We want to help them. Amen. They're young. They're going to, one day, these young people, I know as rough as they look, they're going to find somebody one day, and their mind is going to do things their mind has never done before. They're going to think in a way they've never thought. They're going to look in a way they've never looked. They're just going to be gone. You know, they're going to like take us. They're going to take a visit to outer space, and then you wait till after the wedding and the honeymoon and then a little bit more time, and they might return to you. Just accept that. You say, I don't believe it. Why? I've seen it over and over again. So they're going to need some help. Amen. That's why we believe in doing things in a biblical, scriptural manner. I'm telling you, there's churches that have been destroyed because of immorality. There's homes that have been destroyed because of immorality. You know, there's churches and they just allow, and people are getting divorced and remarried right inside the church. Listen, that is not godly. That is not God's way. I'm not talking about your past. Your past is the past. I'm talking to you right now. Regardless of your past, you need to do right. You need to keep yourself pure and chaste. You know, I just say this and I'll move on. In the Bible, it uses the term a chaste virgin, which tells me those two words don't mean the same thing. You can be a virgin and not be chaste, but you won't be chaste and not be a virgin. You say, I'm a virgin. Well, if you spent years looking at pornography, you're not chaste. Are we okay here? You know what you all want to be on your wedding day? A chaste virgin. That goes for girls and that goes for guys. You say, well, my past, then you know what you ought to be from here on? You ought to be a chaste virgin from here on out. Are we good with that?
Amen.
Amen. So concerning immorality, you say, that's hard preaching. Well, I don't know if it's hard. It's just Bible. But I think it's important you understand what we believe, and you need to be held accountable. We live in a godless, a lustful society. I'm trying to be careful. We don't have too many kids in here, but you know what I'm saying. It's perverted. Society is perverted. I think you've heard it. Look up the stats. I think it was in the 90s. The divorce rate peaked in America. You know why it peaked? They just stopped getting married. We're just living together. People have lived together 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 mates or whatever. And then they live for 6 years and then they want to get married and they get engaged. They're going to get married in 2 more years and they're going to spend $10,000 on a wedding and they've been fornicating for 6 years. They got several illegitimate children running around. That is not God's way. Listen, I don't care what society says. God's word is still our final authority, our standard. You say you hate those people? I don't hate those people. I'm preaching the truth. I don't hate people divorced. We have people divorced in our church. You know what? My heart goes out to them. And you know what? If you talk to them, you know what they tell you? They tell you to listen to what I'm saying. Because there's things in their life, if they could, they'd go back and make different. So we're not talking about trying to dig up your past. I'm just saying society does not dictate what's true. The Word of God does. It's good for a younger woman to marry, bear children, guide the house. You get married, then you move in together. Your first kiss should be the kiss at the altar when the preacher says, you may now kiss your wife, right? And I know you all sit there and go, that's gross. Well, one day you're not going to be able to wait to be able to do that. But wait till you get to the altar.
Amen.
And once you're married, it's good. Amen. The marriage bed is honorable.
Amen.
But whoremongers and adulteresses, God will judge.
Amen.
That's what the Bible teaches. So society is wrong on this. You need to do right. You need to do right starting right now. If you're not right, you need to do right starting right now. Let me give you the next point. Oof. Don't be deceived concerning an unbridled tongue. James chapter 1, if you want to go there, I told you might like that one better than this one. James chapter 1, verse number 26. The Bible says this, James chapter 1, verse 26. If any man among you seem to be religious, you ever meet somebody who tried to look religious? And bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. An unbridled tongue. You know what unbridled tongue will do? It offends. In James, later on in the book, in chapter 3, it says, for many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Unfortunately, you know what we've all done at some point or time in our life? We've offended with our tongue. Now, it's sad. Hopefully we don't do it as often as we used to. Hopefully it bothers us when we do. Hopefully we're trying to get victory, but we've all offended with our tongue. The Bible says, even so, the tongue is a little member. It's pretty little compared to the rest of your body. And boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. Think about that. Your tongue is a fire. You ever hear somebody say, oh, I don't have any way to start a fire? Oh, yes, you do. At all times, you've got a way to start a fire. You've got your tongue. It'll start a dangerous fire, very destructive. And it's a world of iniquity. How many of y'all think we live in a big world? Right? Well, some do. Some that raise your hand if you think we live in a big world. Some don't think we live in a big world. If you don't think we're in a big world, what are we in? And the Bible says, your tongue and my tongue is a world of iniquity. That's a whole lot of sin. That's a whole lot of iniquity in our tongue. It says, so is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. You know what your tongue can do? It can defile your whole body. You know, we could come in church this morning. We could have had a time to read our Bible and pray before we came, and I hope you did. That's a blessing. You could have put on good clothes because you go in the house of God, and it's special, and you want to dress up to do business with God and worship God. You want it to be known these are your best clothes because you're going to God's house. You could come in here and sing. You come in here and say amen and fellowship, and you could listen to preaching and stay awake and listen to the whole message, amen. And you come to the altar and pray. And man, you could have had a good day and be doing well, and on your way out, you could just say something that's five or six words that was wrong, that's nasty, with your wicked world of iniquity tongue that sets things on fire, and you could walk out of here and the Bible said your whole body be defiled. In spite of everything you've done and how you look and how you acted, your tongue could have defiled everything with just a few words. Boy, it's hard because you can't just separate yourself from the tongue. I won't recommend it. Though some, it may not be the worst thing. The tongue, it boasts great things. It's a fire that starts fires. It's a world of iniquity, defiles the whole body. David said this, I will take heed to my ways that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle. You ever see a horse fighting that bit? Oh yeah, you see them. They don't like it sometimes. Listen, folks, how well do we keep our mouth? Do we refrain our lips? 1 Peter 3:10, he that would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Do we keep our lips from speaking guile? Listen, we ought to be honest people. Shouldn't be deceitful and dishonest. Guile, it's deceit. It's being sly. Don't be sly with your tongue. Don't tell one person half and the other person the other half. And you say, well, I didn't really lie. Yeah, but by withholding, you really told two different stories. Don't be that way. That's guile. He says this in James, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. I'm going to close with this, but I gave this to the teens Friday night. I'm going through a study, and it's 10 laws of excellent speech. I may have given them to you here, but 10 laws of excellent speech. We ought to have a desire to have excellent speech in our life. Our tongue gets us in a lot of trouble. Tongue can do damage that doesn't get fixed quick. But number one, you ought to speak sparingly. And these are all biblical. They're verses for these. Speak sparingly. Many of us, you know why we get in trouble? We talk too much. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. We ought to speak only after thinking. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. And I said this, how many times have you said something? And then after you said it, you wished you had just even taken a minute or two and thought about it. You would have said something different. Speak honestly. Speak with grace. Speak only acceptable words. Speak appropriately. Speak respectfully, especially young people to elder people, those in authority. Never speak evil one of another. That'd be a good one to practice. Never praise yourself. Let another man praise thee and not thine own lips. That's a command. If you've ever praised yourself, you disobeyed the word of God. And then the 10th one, speak the gospel boldly. So what's that have to do with excellent speech? Well, as bold as you talk about some things, you ought to speak the gospel boldly. Amen. You know what it is? It's disciplines for our tongue. Don't be deceived by your tongue. Don't think that what you just said was clever when really it was hurtful. Don't think you're getting away with your deceiving and guile and lies. Don't think the destruction you're sowing with your tongue will not come back someday to you. I'm telling you this morning, don't let your heart deceive you. We can come to church, we can try to do everything right, and yet find ourselves being deceived. Amen. Let's pray. Let's pray here this morning. Heads bowed and eyes closed.